and for being in God's house. Moms and dads, would you take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, trying to hit different bases here in the Christmas season. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And while you're turning there, last week I preached about Christmas in the real world. I mentioned there are no perfect Christmases except on the Hallmark Channel because you know why? Plans fall apart. People disappoint you. People get sick. Gifts break. Kids misbehave. Parents misbehave. Grandparents misbehave. Our expectations become unrealistic. We learned, hopefully last week, how to deal with Christmas in the real world by expecting interruptions to our plans, trying to see them from God's perspective, and then remembering who Christmas really is all about. It's not about us. It's not about our gifts. It's not about our parties. It's not about our plans. Let me take you way back to Luke chapter 1 with two people named Joseph and Mary, whose plans were altered in an incredible way by God. And today I want to pose this simple question. How in the world did Mary do it? How in the world? 2,000 years ago, did Mary do that? Can you imagine her breaking the news? Well, actually, the angel broke the news to Joseph, which is a good thing. Because can you imagine Mary walking up to Joseph and saying, honey, I need to tell you something. You want to sit down for this? I'm expecting. You're what? You know, and what's he going to think? Because he knows he hasn't been intimate with her. And so what's his thought going to be? But, you know, thankfully the angel intervened and explained to Joseph. And so even though he was minded to put her away privately, he then accepted that this was God's perfect will, this interruption of the plan. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, starting there. And we're going to read several verses. In the sixth month, and by the way, this is the sixth month, if you read the context, of Elizabeth's pregnancy, not Mary's, okay? Mary's still just early on. This was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was a miracle in its own right because Elizabeth was barren, the Bible says, and they were very old. I don't know what age exactly they were, but they were beyond childbearing years. And so in answer to their prayers, though, they were chosen to be parents, and not just of anyone, but of John the Baptist, who would become Jesus' cousin. So God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, Galilee was about 66 miles due north of Jerusalem, and for some reason was held in disrepute by the Jews. They didn't care much for Galilee. In fact, it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament, which is kind of strange. And so this angel Gabriel appeared to Nazareth, in a town in Galilee, to a virgin, a maiden who had not known a man. And that talks about the physical, intimate part of knowing someone. So she was a virgin. She had not been involved sexually with anyone, and she was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. They were betrothed. Now betrothal was something much more serious and binding than engagement. Even engagement should be serious. Engagement is pretty binding, but this was legally binding. This betrothal resulted in an inviolable contract that was entered into that involved naming the betrothed couple and exchanging money or property to seal the deal, and it became like a contract. So the virgin's name was Mary, it says in verse 27. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored." And the Greek word for highly favored there is dechares, which is grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And this word blessed, I found out, is a compound word of you and logos. Logos is the word. And so this means good word. You, logos, good word. The Lord is with you. I've got a good word for you. You are among women. You are blessed among women. Mary was greatly troubled, agitated, stirred up, I can understand, at his words and wondered. She tried to reason or figure out what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor," the word grace again, "with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus," which means Jehovah, his help. "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The kingdom will never end." Mary says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your cousin, your relative rather, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was barren is in her sixth month." And look at verse 37. And this is one of those God incidents things that I love it. Absolutely love this. Well, I planned on this series probably, I'm going to say a month ago. I think, Julie, I think I gave you these titles maybe a month or so ago. And so I was thinking about this verse, for nothing shall with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I am telling you, for the last week and a half, it's come up on my Facebook page, I don't know how many times, that very verse, verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. You know why? Because nothing is impossible with God. You know what we need to understand? Nothing is impossible with God. There is no disease that God cannot heal. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no wayward child that God cannot bring home. There is no husband or wife who's unfaithful that God cannot bring around. There is nothing is impossible. Whatever we imagine is beyond the ability of God to do. We're in fantasy land. There is no such place. You know why? Because God, with God, nothing is impossible. He is all powerful, omnipotent. He can do it all. And so here's Mary, probably a teenage girl, betrothed in marriage. Everybody's anticipating a wedding coming up. She finds out she's pregnant, and she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. I wouldn't have been as graceful. Well, first of all, I'd have been real mess if the angel had appeared to me and said I was going to have a baby. You know, I mean, just, I don't want to go there. Mary showed, I think, how a spiritual person ought to react to the unexpected things that happen in life. I like to plan things. I like things to be, I like to know what's happening, when they're happening, how it's going to happen. I like the details. I like to know this stuff. And I got to tell you, there have been far too many times I haven't been graceful like Mary was, and things have come and interrupt. I was coming to discipleship with Grant and Wyatt Thursday, and Pat wanted a sweet iced tea at McDonald's. She had to get her sugar high. Living with me was not enough. I know you find that hard to believe. So we drove to McDonald's, got her a sweet iced tea. You know what? California, there's hope for California. I can remember when California didn't have sweet iced tea. Can I get a witness? Yeah, they have no idea. So we got her sweet iced tea. Well, because of that, instead of being on the freeway, I was on a street, city street, and I looked down, and there's that little indication that your tire has a problem, and it actually told me which tire had a problem. And so I drove on down the street on Palm Avenue to Discount Tire. And I went in there, and the place was absolutely packed. I mean, all the parking places were taken, and people were double parked in places. And I said, I can't get on the road, Pat. I know it probably had a nail in it, and it did. And he checked it out, and he said it's going to be an hour and 40 minutes before he can get to it. But I was kind of stuck. So it's like, you know what? The unexpected things that happen. Now, I could have gotten real. There was a time when I would have gotten real like, oh, come on, what in the world? I'm trying to go discipleship these guys, and then I get a flat tire, and what kind of deal is that? I wouldn't be saying that to God, because I'd be afraid to say that to God. I'd just be saying it to myself. But you know what? I figured, you know what? God knew it was going to be flat. God knew there was going to be a nail in it. God knew all these other people were going to have nails in their tires, too. They picked a bad time, but hey, God knew it. So I'm saying Mary showed, I think, how a spiritual person ought to react to unexpected events. Life's unexpected curves don't have to be catastrophic for the child of God. I know that the things I can't explain. There are things I can't understand. You could tell me a dozen different situations. I wouldn't be able to see the good in them. I wouldn't be able to see God's hand in them necessarily. That's where faith comes in, right? Faith comes in and takes over when life seems like it's out of control. I hope we'll use Mary's approach to coping with when life takes unexpected turns. So how do we do that? What did Mary do? She used three different approaches. And the first one is found in verse 28. The angel went unto her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Mary was given favor. Mary was given grace. In fact, not just a little bit, highly favored. Highly favored. She was chosen by God for the role God had assigned her with no work or merit or act on Mary's part. That's what grace is. "And for by grace are we saved through faith. No work, no merit, no act that we have done to deserve it." Why are we in this place right now? Why are we who trust in Christ as our Savior? Why do we have eternal life? Why do we have the weight of sin lifted from us because of the finished work of Christ on the cross? Is it because we're better than anybody else? Is it because we're more deserving than anybody else? Is it because we've earned it somehow? No to all those things. It's because God is just gracious God. God gave Mary grace as a gift. And Jesus, who's the whole treasure of God's grace, was conceived in Mary's womb. So before we can approach life's unexpected turns the correct way with grace, we must first have God's grace. The word for grace in the Greek, charis, and different various forms of it, is the same Greek word that refers to the gifts that God gives us when we get saved. When you got born again, if you received Christ as your Savior, you were given certain spiritual gifts. And you're to use those spiritual gifts in the local body and through the local body and in the world to draw people to Christ. And so the word for grace, charis here, is the same Greek word that God gave to, and it's the divine influence upon the heart and the reflection in our life. If there's been something that's really happened in our heart, it ought to reflect in our daily lives. Acceptance, benefit, gift, joy, liberality, pleasure, thanksgiving. It all comes from the verb that means to be cheerful and happy and calm and well off, highly favored. Charito, a form of charis, is mentioned only twice in the whole New Testament, okay? That word mentioned only twice, charitu, I don't know if I pronounced it right, charitoo, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, where she is highly blessed of God, and in Ephesians 1, 6, which says, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." We are highly favored as Mary was highly favored for a different job and a different ministry, but we are highly favored, and so was Mary in the same way. The same favor and grace that God showed Mary is the same favor and grace he's freely given us, and grace to cheerfully accept what has come to there. There's the key. Now I got to tell you, I don't think I was cheerful about the flat tire. I don't remember going, "Whoopee, we got a flat tire. Oh, yay." Because I'm not insane. Well, not yet. Getting there. But you know what? We're to cheerfully accept what God gives to us, what he gives us in life. We've got to be saved by grace to approach life's unexpected turns in the right way. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Mary found her grace in God to be able to accept this unexpected event, and that's where we find grace too. And my question to each one of us, myself included, is do we have his grace, his favor, his calmness, his cheerfulness in the face of unexpected turns in our life? I'm going to tell you something. The grace of God is sufficient. It's all we need in this life. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." We don't know what it was. Some say eye disease. Some say epilepsy. Some say, you know, what, something plagued him. And it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord. By the way, the man that Paul was, if he didn't have this thorn in the flesh, he might well have been so full of himself and so full of pride that God couldn't have used him at all. I was mentioning to Pat the other night that child stars, singers, actors, actresses, whatever, so many of them get so messed up because along with success comes a lot of temptation and trials and difficulties. Success is not always our friend. Did you know that? Too much too soon when we're not ready is not a good thing. So he said, I had this messenger from Satan was buffeting me, was beating me, was hurting me. And for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. I prayed three times he might depart from me. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest. You know, Paul said, I would rather have Satan beating me up and have the power of God in my life than to not have Satan beating me up and not have the power of God. Then he says something, I'm quoting him. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Took pleasure in it. I saw it as, Paul saying, I saw it as a way that God was going to anoint me and God was going to bless me and God was going to use me. So I relished having these things, these misadventures, these unexpected things, these problems, these buffeting, this all of I was the imprisonments, the being thrown in dungeons, the being stoned and left for dead, and so on. And then later he would say, and by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Mary, how did you do it? I had the grace of God in my life. I was highly favored. I was blessed, most blessed among women. I had favor. Secondly, in verse 34, she had faith. She said, how will this be? Since I am a virgin. Good point. By the way, sometimes we feel like we should never question God. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it has to do with the tenor in which we're discussing or questioning or the attitude that we have in questioning. It's not questioning necessarily that's the problem, but how we question him and why we question him and how we react to him if we don't get the answer that we want. It's a very natural thing to be curious about how God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so here's what my theory is about this. Mary knew what would happen because she was told. She knew about when it was going to happen because those things you can figure out. But she didn't know how it was going to happen. And can I submit to you that perhaps her questioning was actually an expression of faith? And how could it be an expression of faith? In other words, she was saying, I know this is going to happen because you said it would happen, but how is it possible given the present circumstances? I've never been intimate with a man, she said. She was just wanting to know. The promise she faithfully understood. The performance she didn't understand. By way of a little bit of contrast, Zacchaeus, the high priest, or Zechariah rather, the high priest, had doubts when he was told that they were going to have a child and his name would be John. Later on would be known as John the Baptist. In verse 18, he says, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years. How can I know that? Well, he was to be speechless for the duration of the pregnancy. He wouldn't be able to speak. He wouldn't be able to talk. He would have to write down everything. God took his ability to speak because he was actually questioning how God can do what God said he could do. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary never doubted that God could do what he said he could do and he would do. He is faithful. Do we really believe that nothing's impossible? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Do we really believe that? He is our shelter. He is our fortress. He is our rock. He is our foundation. He is our shield. He will take care of every need. He hasn't forgotten about you. He knows where you live. He knows what's going on between your ears. He knows what trials have come to you. I have faith in him today because nothing is impossible with God. I have things I'm praying about. My wife and I have things that we're praying about. We don't have any idea how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but we are trusting God that it will happen because he said nothing is impossible with him. So we are ascribing his power is more than adequate to do what he says he's going to do. The angel said the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. She had favor, she had faith. Thirdly, she had flexibility. Again, the words of this incredible young lady. I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. And the angel left her. If I were writing verses in the Bible, which I don't and can't, I would write this one. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not. Mary wasn't married, but she was expecting. Not normally a great thing. Go back 2,000 years, a really bad thing. She could have been put to death, capital punishment under the Jewish law 2,000 years ago. She doesn't complain. She doesn't cringe at the shame of her premarital pregnancy. Why should she complain at being given the opportunity to be blessed among women? Remember, we need to see things from God's perspective. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, her big wedding went out the window. Her bachelorette party wasn't going to be. Her booking a band didn't have to happen. She actually saved a lot of shekels, probably, not having to go through all this. But most notably, she exercised flexibility. Flexibility. When life turns unexpectedly, my first reaction, I won't speak for you, my first reaction oftentimes is to be complaining or critical or to cringe. Nothing. None of which, rather, Mary did. You see, the fact is we can become a slave to our own plans, to our own way of seeing things, to our own purposes we think we're here to fulfill. We can become a slave to that, to our own agenda, to our own ego, to our own pride, to our own dreams. It should make me upset that that can happen rather than God intervening and making something else or allowing something else to happen. The reason Mary could handle this unexpected turn in her life and a momentous one at that was because of whom she was serving, the God of Israel. Flexibility is to say to the Lord, whatever you say, God, I'm your servant. Whatever you want. The epitome of doing that and saying that was Jesus in the garden when he prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Thank you, Mary, for showing us how a good believer ought to react to the unexpected. But again, doesn't have to be catastrophic. Flat tire certainly wasn't catastrophic. Cancer. Financial reversals and setbacks, unexpected things, crazy things that come up. Losing a job. Not knowing where you're going to get the rent. Problems in the home. Seemingly irreconcilable differences. What do we do? Well, let's try to do what Mary did. Let's show favor. God has blessed us with grace. Faith. With God, nothing is impossible. Flexibility. We may as well bend, or we're liable to break. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads together. I'm going to talk to Christians just for a moment. You who put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. I won't embarrass you. How many of you with hands raised up would say, Pastor, some unexpected things, totally unexpected things have come up. I'm one of those people. Would you put your hands up real high? Hold them up real high. God bless you, folks. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God knows what you're going through. Father, I pray for these who've raised their hands. God, I pray that you would give them your grace. That charis, that charitu, that special, highly favored grace, and to allow them and us, me too, to face these unexpected things or unwanted things with your grace. God, may you give an extra measure of faith to every single one who raised their hands and who needs you in their life to be able to walk through this next week. And Father, help us to look to Job, maybe. Because there's a follower of yours, a believer in you, who tried to live the right kind of a life and the right kind of an example, and everything was going so well for him in every imaginable way until all of a sudden, unexpected events after unexpected events happened, and he lost all of his kids, he lost all of his herds, he lost all of his flocks, he lost all of his money, he lost all of his prestige and influence in the town, he lost his wife's integrity and belief in him, and he finally lost his own health. The only thing he didn't lose was his life. And yet in the end, God used even that tragedy upon tragedy to bring glory, Lord, to your name. I pray we would have favor, faith, and flexibility in whatever happens. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Fitz, would you come down here and be ready to pray with any guys who want to pray with somebody? David Lassiter in the back, would you be ready to pray back there? So guys, you need somebody to pray with right now about a situation in your life. You don't have to tell them the details. You can if you want to, but they'll keep it in confidence. But go pray with Fitz. Go pray with David. Let's trust God, because with God, nothing is impossible. Rachel, right over here. My wife, right over here. Ladies, if you need someone to pray with, come on. Don't hang back. Don't stop. Just go ahead. If the Spirit's leading you to take care of something, do it. If you need to know Christ as your Savior, come and ask one of these. They'll help you to know how to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior today. So as our praise team sings, would you come right now? Come on.
I fall.
There's power in prayer, and with God, nothing is impossible.
You're the one that guides my heart.
All right, how about you? Come on. There's another one. chorus again. Sing the chorus one more time. Dave's right back there. Come on.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. I want defense, my righteousness.
Thank you. Remain standing for just a moment. Fitz, would you come tell us about the plans for Saturday, please? Can we borrow this just for a second?
All right. The countdown. You know, they say, I remember when I was in college many years ago, when you're studying for finals, it only takes a minute. You know, it's last minute. It only takes a minute. We had 47 kids up there. We've got about 10 of the gifts. So it means about 37 are still outstanding.
Our gifts are in our office.
Perfect. All right, good. We're down to maybe about 30. Yeah, so for those who have... kindly taken a child to adopt, if you will, as we go down to Mexico next Saturday. First of all, we're going to leave here. We'll meet here at 12, and by 12:20, we're gone. So if you
bring your passport.
Yeah, bring your passport.
If you want to come back home.
Yeah, that's right. if you can drop off your gifts there, Agette or I will come pick them up, so you can give her a call. Reach Julie or the church if you
this
don't have
this is absolutely group. Necessary. It's got to be this week.
Yeah, this is it.
I mean, this is it. So make sure. We don't want to disappoint the kids at that orphanage.
Yeah. So please bring those gifts, drop them off here. We'll come get them from you. And if you'd like to come down with us and participate in their Christmas program, which would be fantastic, please meet us here at 12 o'clock next Saturday. Saturday, high noon, out by 12:20. Back whenever the traffic allows.
There you go. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Be sure to get those presents here. That's absolutely necessary. If you cannot for some reason, let us know early in the week and give us the names back, and we'll do what we need to do. So please, please, please don't let that ball drop. Next Sunday, why God became a man. Why God became a man. Why did he have to become a man? What was the point and purpose in it? How did that even happen? So we'll talk about that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. And Baptism Sunday, we're going to fire up the old baptistry. So we've got, I think, two or three people that I know of that are planning on following the Lord in believers' baptism. If you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior but never have been baptized by immersion since that point in time, come prepared. Bring some towels and a change of clothing that you can get completely wet, because we will immerse you. And we will not hold you under according to how much sinning you've done. We will not do that. This is just under briefly and back up, okay? All right, so Baptism Sunday, Windsurfer Meet and Greet. That's the new name for our middle school class, Windsurfer. They've got a logo, and we're going to ask parents and kids that are in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, not the parents, but the kids that are in 6th, 7th, 8th grade and their parents to meet the new leaders who will be heading that up, and the volunteers who are going to be helping them out. That'll be next Sunday. Christmas Eve Candlelight, 6 o'clock, told you about that. That's all the announcements I have right now. Daniel, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer and ask God to go with us today?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful time that we've had together. Thank you so much that we had an amazing example in Mary and how to be flexible. And just take whatever comes with us with your will, Lord. I just pray that we go to you in every situation. And I just thank you that we have everybody here to lean on as well. We pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.